Coming back at you like last night's ghost peppers, 10 more spicy D&D hot takes.
Buckle up, sit back, and let's get cracking.
That's how we roll. 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 That's how we roll.
Welcome to the Goblin's Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
we're doing D&D Hot Takes Volume 2.
Once again, we have scoured the internet for 10 of the hottest hot takes, spicy takes that people seem to argue a lot about.
Yes. Mostly from the app formerly known as Twitter.
X, which sounds like a 90s movie. X. Gotta cross your hands like this.
It's one third of a 90s movie.
That's very very good. I like that. Very good. Yeah.
This is a deep cut for you guys playing in the home game.
That's right. So we're going to dive into these spicy hot takes. And again, don't hate us. We're just going to give our opinions, but we find these very amusing and you'll find them very amusing as well.
Hopefully.
That's right. So if you haven't yet, hit that like and subscribe button. Help us get our show out to more people and get notified when more amazing episodes come your way.
And if you're listening to the show, give us a review on iTunes, Podchaser, or wherever you're listening to it.
That's right. I can't help gesturing when I talk, but I'm sorry.
You get so happy. Your way.
I don't try to do the finger gun thing, but I'm Italian. I have to do something with my hands.
It's required.
It absolutely required.
They'll kick you out of the culture otherwise.
Yeah. So we've trawled the various socials, as we've mentioned. Matt, lo and behold, people have a lot of very strong opinions about D&D.
It's true.
You know, we talked about our version wars, and people had many different opinions about those.
Yes.
And mostly because we got some things wrong.
I like to be corrected because I don't like to stay wrong.
So, provided for you tonight, here are the 10 hot takes that we've scoured the internet with. Number one.
Games don't have to be safe. You just have to know that they aren't.
What are we talking about, Matt? This is a big deal about safety in games, and a lot of people have been arguing about it. Some people are like, we don't need safety in games. Some people are like, you have to have safety controls.
If you want a game that lacks certain conflicts, then play it that way, but do not expect every company to sanitize the conflict out of their products. That's what it boils down to for me.
Yeah, I agree. I figure this is what a session zero is for. If you want to play something a little risque, play something a little risque. If you don't want to play something a little risque, don't. If you're playing with a bunch of newbies or people that you've never played with, fucking ask them.
Know what you're going into before you start playing with people.
Yes, it's as simple as that. Keep in mind, the games exist to give the storyteller or the DM or whatnot something to work with.
And sometimes that something to work with is an obvious and clearly present evil.
Like Fae.
Fae is a great example.
And if you guys don't know what Fae is, it's in the Forgotten Realms. It's an evil, evil country.
Yeah, it's an evil magical empire. They are there to be evil, to present an evil dictatorship, to provide the players with something to rail against.
They're there for you to destroy.
Yeah, that is their purpose.
Absolutely. So play the game that you want to play. Find the people that you want to play that game with. Don't worry about what other people are saying. I would definitely still say talk it over before you jump into something crazy.
Yes.
Because if you don't, you're going to have a lot of mad people.
Absolutely. If a game has themes built into it, make sure everyone understands that from word go.
Number two, and this kind of follows up on a lot of this as well.
Mm-hmm.
People trying to make the game for every single person.
Yeah.
Now, there's a common phrase, if you try to please everyone, no one will like it.
That's fair.
There's a reason that games are made for specific audiences. There's demographic research being done. There's certain types of people that like to play certain types of game. Hey, man, I may not play Candyland. You might be a person that likes, I don't know, Uno.
Sure.
We're talking about like board games and card games. But role-playing games are the same way, right? They're trying to sell to particular audiences. Many times, they're trying to sell to one so that they can expand and sell to others.
But also, sometimes people are attempting to represent an underrepresented audience and therefore expect it to be targeted directly to that audience. I don't expect bakeries to take caraway out of rye for me. I just don't buy rye bread. So I feel that same way about designers for games. Don't make a product for me for which I'm not the designated target.
So a good example of that, because we're both 40-year-old men, Monster Heart.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure there's someone on the internet that probably is our demographic that loves Monster Heart. And I like Monster Heart. The problem is that a lot of those topics and scenarios would be kind of creepy coming from us playing them if we ran a game like that.
Yes. It is set at high school age. I am not going to play that game with a bunch of high schoolers.
No.
The theme's present.
I wouldn't play it with a bunch of our friends.
I wouldn't either, but that's because we're a bunch of sarcastic people who are not targeted to that game. But also, playing it with a bunch of people significantly younger than me is creepy.
Yeah, cringe at the best, creepy at the worst.
Yes. Number three, which is basically blank version of whatever game is better than whatever other version.
People just pissing on 4th edition or 5th edition, or people pissing on OG versus 2nd or 3rd or whatever it is.
Or Pathfinder 1 versus Pathfinder 2.
Yeah. Folks, we've been through this before. Play whatever you want. Seriously, these are games. I want people to understand something real quick. I know that you guys base your identity off your characters. It's fine. We do too. I've got a character that I have bronzed somewhere in my office before I boxed everything up to make this show. It's amazing, right? I have a character that was an amazing goblin technomancer from Starfinder.
Sure.
Yeah. Zammit.
Yeah.
He was great. It's like, damn it, but with an X. X. But seriously, it's just a game. It's just a character. See our show on Version Wars if you really want to get fired up about stuff, particularly D&D stuff. You want to hear us say something wrong? Go look up the Version Wars. We probably got a couple of things wrong.
We definitely got a couple things wrong.
Play whatever game you want. This is the important part. Stop arguing over which game is better. It doesn't matter, right? You know which one is better?
The one you're playing.
Exactly.
There are whole communities of people out there who like a particular version. You can go play with them. If you can't find them, then hit up some Discords or check out RPG Match. That's literally what they do.
Yes. RPG Match will sync you up with a bunch of people that want to play the game that you want to play, and you can also do a quick Google search on some Discord servers to chat with people. Hope for TTRPGs is another good place to find people who are looking for group, and there's a bunch of other places. Hell, half the podcasts that talk about TTRPGs have a Discord server where you can link up and find other people to play games.
Absolutely.
We got one.
Yeah.
Hey, come to our Discord and we'll help you find a game. Seriously, what's the most esoteric game you want to play? Hit us up on the Discord. I guarantee you I can find you at least 5 people to play it.
That's fair.
May not be in your time zone, but we can find them.
Number four.
Why the fuck are we still having this goddamn debate about Session Zero? Now, Matt, we had a whole thing from the first hot takes about Session Zero.
We also had an entire episode when we got started
about Session Zero. Yeah, and yet people are still arguing over Session Zero. Why are they arguing over Session Zero, do you think, Matt?
Now, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. If you start a game, how is anybody on the same page if you don't have a conversation at the start of the game? It doesn't make sense to me.
And that's all it is a conversation. Seriously, who hates their players that badly that they can't just say, hey guys, we're going to play this and we're going to use these rules. You guys cool with that? Because that's all it is. You literally can just say that. Agree on what you're going to play.
And safety tools are just part of a rule set. These are the rules we're going to play by.
Now, I know what the argument is going to be, because we've got some people that bitch and moan and complain about stuff like this. And here's how it usually goes. Well, I've been playing with the same group of players for 15, 20 years. Great. You probably don't need to do a lot of safety rules with them because you know the people. But if you don't know the people that you're playing with, then you need to talk to them about this stuff. Again, if someone comes over to your house to watch a movie and it's something completely unexpected, you might be uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's just a movie example.
That's the Teletubbies example.
Don't want to watch Teletubbies. It's awful. They're spooky. I would, maybe if I was doing drugs, I might watch Teletubbies, but that's a different story. No. Still not. So get on the same page as your players. Remember, they're going to be creating this story with you, not just you throwing a story at them. Even one-shots are still collaboratively created. So figure that out. Everybody's got to make the story they want to make. And if you don't like it, don't run a game.
There you go. Number 5.
More alignment or more moral attributes instead of less. What do we mean by that, Matt?
There are alignment systems in a lot of games. A lot of people don't like them. I feel like that's a mistake.
Good and evil or law or chaos or whatever, particularly in D&D, the 9-axis alignments. It's part of the game, just like rounds or speed. I'm pretty sure humans don't run at 30 feet every 6 seconds in real life. Some people can't run 10 feet per 6 seconds in real life. Some people run more, right?
Sure.
This is a make-believe game. And all we're trying to say is that there's a lot of complex subjects, a lot of simple story frameworks that we're trying to jam these complex subjects into. These rules exist for non-writers and non-philosophers so that they can jam these complex subjects into these very simple stories, right? It's a game, guys. Again, your game may differ, but this is my opinion that I think alignments are fine. And people may go, that's cool. Or they might go, I totally disagree. I don't like alignments at all. Cool. Don't use them. Again, that's why we have that session zero in the beginning.
Sure.
But if you do want to use them, just remember that they're rules that let your character proceed along a specific path.
Here is where I provide the argument for why I like alignment in games.
Okay, give it to me.
It provides a framework to create an interesting character inside of.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives your storyteller tensions that they can apply to make your character make moral choices. And to me, that is far more interesting and far more dynamic than every character being chaotic neutral all the time and just roaming around doing what have you.
They're buttons for the DM to press.
Right.
To be perfectly honest, look, your DM is not a complete genius. They might be a genius, but your DM needs help. And all of these things are just a little bit of like extra things that they can throw at your character so that the story can be kind of bumped along if it hits a roadblock, right?
Sure.
Moral quandaries are fun.
Yes.
Now, you don't have to play with any system at all. You can still have moral quandaries, right? You're going to kill that goblin that, you know, is bleeding on the side of the road, or are you going to let him go so that he can go and kill a village? Might happen, right?
Could. Or he could come back and save a village later because some people were nice to him.
That's right. It's all part of the story. Now, where things get a little bit tricky is the planes.
Yes and no. The planes represent the solid state of certain alignments. You can't, I am fine with having redemption arcs for demons, with having fallen arcs for angels, with having anarchic arcs for Modrons. I love the idea of an anarchic arc
crazed
for Modrons.
Modrons? I'm all about crazed Modrons.
But those are only exciting, interesting characters if they are placed against the backdrop of their background.
Mm-hmm.
So you need something concrete to put that up against so that a contrast exists.
Yeah, get a little bit of prompts so you can give your character depth. You can give the story a bit of depth and something, again, a little button for the DM to press to kind of mess around with you a little bit.
Sure.
It's fun, right? And again, take this all with a grain of salt.
These are our opinions about this topic.
Speaking of other topics we have many opinions about, we have what, Matt?
The question of the week.
All right. What's the question of the week this week? Is it a hot take type question?
It is a little bit, yeah.
Sweet.
If you had the opportunity to argue a point in the game space, any point that people had to listen to, what would the point be?
I've only got one, and it's an easy one.
Okay.
I have it immediately. Stop taking yourself so seriously. Stop taking the game so seriously. Just have fun.
Okay. That's a good point. I'm with that.
That's pretty much my MO for all role-playing games. Don't worry about it. It's just a game. Have fun with it.
Mine is similar and just as immediate.
Okay.
If it's not your table, shut your hole.
I like that.
Right. Everybody plays different games, different ways, with different types of stories, because their table is their table.
It's interesting because this is one of the few spaces where any other game that you would play, you wouldn't have people violently arguing so much about specific rules and or lack of rules, depending on how people are playing. Like, if you house ruled a whole bunch of stuff for, I don't know, your poker game, right? So long as everybody knew about it. Here's a good example of a session zero, by the way. You tell everybody what you're playing for poker, particularly if it's for money. Don't have that session zero. Well, you get yourself a little OK Corral action going on. Seriously, if you're playing, like, I don't know, a board game, Monopoly or something, right? And you've got some extra rules or something like that. No one's going to, like, I don't know, run down the street and yell at you, call you a terrible person because you're using these Monopoly rules.
It's true. If you play Monopoly, you're probably already a terrible person.
I don't know about that.
I said it.
I like the shoe. Of course, we're always interested in your answer to the question of the week. And if you have one, hit us up at Goblin's Corner on the various socials that Matt enjoys posting to. And I sometimes answer.
You can also comment down below. There's a spot for it if you're watching YouTube.
Indeed. So we're talking D&D Hot Takes Part 2. And now we're on to number 6.
Stop mechanically comparing races and lineages.
This kind of goes down to the it's a fantasy game type thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantasy game. Orcs aren't real, folks. Neither are elves.
True.
They're not. These are all just made-up numbers for made-up creatures that don't exist. They're all made up. They're all made to represent made-up people. Not even people. Elves aren't people. I'm going to say it. Fuck those elves. Orcs aren't real. These are not real-life individuals. Can we just not worry about what the hell these creatures are? I'm not worried about the plight of Skittermander in Starfinder. I'm kind of worried about the plight of Skittermander because they're so cute.
They're adorable.
They're adorable, except for the little, you know, little alien thing in their belly button.
Whatever.
Yeah. But seriously, gnomes are cool, right? But I don't sit up awake at night worried about gnomes in Faerun.
It's not just that for me. Is there questionable writing behind some things sometimes? Yes, that's not what we're talking about.
No.
We're talking about mechanics.
And that's easily solved, by the way, the questionable writing. The answer is, don't be racist. There you go. Don't be racist.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
If you get rid of some, if you get rid of your isms, right? Mm-hmm. No racism, no misogynism, right? Just go ahead and throw away your isms.
If the sentence that you wrote as a game designer sounds like something a Nazi would say, don't write it.
If you say it in a German accent and it all of a sudden sounds really questionable, edit.
Apologies to our German friends, by the way.
They understand better than most.
That's a good point, yeah. Now, we should talk a bit about optimizing because that's always going to come up as well.
Right. My thing is this. If you want to optimize, optimize. But stop bitching that elves don't get what Gith get or what have you. If you're making a character, then make a character. If you're making a build, then make a build. But understand that's two different processes for character creation.
Absolutely.
You can either write your character around your build, or you can write your build around your character.
Yeah. So there.
Some of these things irritate me.
Speaking of spicy, let's hit up number 7. You don't have to have anything to storytell a tabletop role-playing game. I have heard many people on several other shows, by the way, talk about, oh yeah, you need the following stuff. And look, man, I love my dice.
Mm-hmm.
Matt loves his dice. We've got dice within easy reach of both of us. If we wanted to grab them, we could.
And spare dice.
And spare dice. I have enough to just have a Gatling gun of dice. You don't need dice. You don't need books. You don't need money. You don't need D&D Beyond. You don't even need experience or any rules to play a role-playing game because it is a freeing, collaborative storytelling game.
Right.
Now, all that stuff helps with the drama, but you don't need it. All you need is the will to tell a great story and a couple of friends.
The other thing is there's literally nothing you can't fake. Oh, you need to have a random number generator so that you can, you know, build out your own rules. Slips of paper and a hat, or just jumbled up and thrown on a table.
Grab 5 coins and flip them.
Exactly. You can literally make do with anything if that's what you need to or want to do.
There's a lot of people in the community that believe you have to have like a subscription to some kind of VTT, or you have to have all of the game books to be able to play stuff. No, man, you can make stuff up. Now, do we like our games and third-party publishers? We love them.
Sure.
I have massive amounts of PDFs and physical copies of books because I avidly read all of them, and I like playing different games. And I love my dice, right? Like my figures.
Sure.
I'd print more of them if I could get my damn 3D printer to work. But the point is if you don't have that ability to get that stuff, if you don't have any money, or you just don't have the time, or maybe you're just at a place, you're at a friend's house and you want to play something, you can make stuff up on the fly. In fact, there are some games that literally are just a pack of cards.
Yep. iDark Overlord.
Oh, I love that game. Yeah. Perfect example of that. So look into stuff like that. Whatever you need to have fun is what you need. Next up, number 8.
The players are not the most important people. Neither is the DM.
It is a collaborative game, right? The players should be putting in at least the same amount of energy and effort as the DM and not expecting everything to just be handed on a silver platter. And this, by the way, this is both ways, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, DMs, you should not expect the players to just go along with whatever you write. Right? Again, true. It's collaborative. Don't be a railroader.
Unless you're playing a one-shot module and that is the expectation from word go.
Right. But there's a lot of back and forth where the DM assumes that the players need to act a certain way. No, they don't. That's why it's a collaborative storytelling game. Again, session zero this stuff out. That way, you know what the players expect to be playing. Players, the DM's not going to do all the legwork. Come up with some characters. Play your game. You did this for a reason. Let's be nice to each other. Can we do that?
I think we can. Speaking of that, the DM is not the enemy. The DM plays the enemy.
They're not against you. Most of the time, they're just trying to tell a story. When I DM, and trust me, I've TPK'd plenty of people, and it's fine.
There are times when character choices are bad ideas objectively.
Mm-hmm.
If you have characters that are third level, that all have a reason to despise the dragon, and they go marching into the ancient dragon's lair.
And he breathes on them.
They're dead.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's okay.
Yeah. You took on a giant ancient red dragon in a lava-filled caldera. Congratulations.
It becomes a generational game. The children of those adventurers are raised on the story that their brave parents went and fought and perished. And so now these kids are like, no, we're going to be prepped. We're going to go in there when we're ready, and we're going to murder this dragon when we have the time.
Yeah, so don't take this stuff personally. If your character gets killed, it's not because your DM hates you, or they shouldn't anyway. DMs, don't purposely kill your characters off. Don't be an asshole.
That's number 9, in fact.
Yes.
Don't take this shit personally.
Well, let's jump right into that. These are games. We get very invested in these games, but at their heart, they're storytelling games. And I want people to understand that we're just doing this because we're being amusing, hopefully. But there's a lot of people that get really angry about these games.
Yes.
When your character dies, this is a perfect example. The DM does not hate you, we think.
Right.
They shouldn't.
If you're playing with a DM that hates you, get another DM. That's a separate issue and a separate topic. In a normal game where it's a group of friends or a group of individuals who are just playing a game, if your character dies, that is a consequence of the story and how it played out.
Mm-hmm.
It is not because this person all of a sudden decided they wanted to kill your character.
And another thing to kind of follow up with that is take your personal problems, leave them at the door, come in and play something. You know why we play these games? I know why I play this game. It's because the rest of the world sucks and I want to play something that's fun and I want to enjoy myself, right?
Escapism.
Yeah, same reason we watch movies or consume other media, yeah. Right? This is not a therapy session for most part, unless you're in a therapy session, in which case, keep at it.
Or if that was part of your session zero and people are like, hey, I've got some things that I just need to get off my chest, let's run through it.
Then perfect, right?
Yeah.
Another thing to consider is that sometimes stuff's not going to go your way. Whether it's, and it doesn't have to be a total party kill. It could be the dice just don't roll.
It sucks when the barbarian is having a bad night and the thing they do, i.e. hit people with the big stick, isn't happening. Like, that can suck. If you've just had bad rolls all night long.
Sometimes you got to run. You got to get away. You got to leave the barbarian to his fate.
Or the barbarian should just, I don't know, step off and start providing advantage for other people, right? Like, there are other things you can do if the dice just really honestly aren't working for you.
Adapt. Roll with it. Tell the story. What happens when the barbarian's not attacking? Maybe it's something interesting story related. What a great gift when something is going crazy and you now have to justify that. Justify that weirdness. DMs, if the character dies, justify it. Why did it happen? Hey, death is not the end. We've got a whole episode on combat, injury, and death.
Also, I think if somebody's having like that kind of night where things just aren't working over and over and over again for them, especially in a combat, I think for me, I would probably go, you know what? Every third miss is an automatic help action for someone in your party.
I like that.
Because you're still being distracted. You are a giant thing swinging a giant weapon. You are a walking distraction, whether or not you're being successful.
Yeah, he's down to one hit point. He's swinging this table with blades on the other on each side.
Sure. It's,
yeah, I mean, because that's kind of how it is, right?
Yeah.
But roll with the punches, folks. That's what we're saying. Don't take it personally. No one's out to get you. And finally, number 10.
You just touched on this slightly. D&D's hit points are fine. You're just thinking about them wrong.
So I'm playing an epic fantasy game, Matt. There's magic. There's monsters. There's flumps.
Sure.
And I'm fine with my raging barbarian, who is losing his shit, swinging a table with blades on it.
Right.
It looks like the cloud.
The table blade. Yeah,
the table blade, right? He's got one hit point. No problem. Putting in max effort. That is totally fine. Why? Because I'm not looking for realism in this game. There are other games for realism if I want to play those. It's fantasy. You want to be more real? Go play a game that has more realistic combat. There are a lot of them that exist. We'll show you some of them if you're interested.
Generally speaking, none of us show up to the table to pursue realism in any way. We play to escape realism. We would not be playing a game where people can throw fire around or literally call down meteors if what we were doing was pursuing realism.
Bringing the dead back
to
life.
That's nonsense.
Riding a giant, majestic sky flump.
Sure.
Destroying beholder sharks and various other ridiculous things we've come up with.
Clearly, realism is not involved. Why get hung up on it when it applies to hit points?
So there you have it. 10 D&D hot takes. Spicy. For you to take however you like, right? Love it, hate it, it is what it is.
Sure.
And I'm sure we can find 10 more that people disagree with as well.
Oh, I'm sure.
Any questions or comments, hit us up at Goblin's Corner on X, formerly known as Twitter, and all the various socials. Did you enjoy this podcast? We've got a whole bunch more arguments in the making. Subscribe to it on your favorite player, YouTube and Twitch.
Click the 5 stars and give us a review on iTunes, Podchaser, and on YouTube. Hit the like and subscribe button. It helps get our show out in front of more people. And it feeds the hungry algorithm.
Which is currently changing yet another social media site into one single alphabetical letter.
Man, I can't wait for, what are we going to do? Z?
Yeah, Z.
Z.
I can't do the Z with my hands,
though.
Oh, that's
true.
It's tough. We'll figure it out. That's all the time we have for tonight. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
We'll see you next time.
Have a good night, folks.
The Goblin's Corner is written and produced by Eric Holden and Matt Staples.
The music is by the Mighty D20.
This has been a Subterranean production.